Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, mighty God. The psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen. Now, I can't control what time the sun comes up and what time it goes down. That's all in God's hands. But I can control my response to this day. The psalmist said, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I'm so thankful for what the Lord is doing and what God did in this house last night. Amen. And God's going to do great things in this place today. I feel the tug of the Holy Ghost in this building today. Amen. And I could not help but even feel it even stronger as we were singing a moment ago. Amen. That calling, that pulling, the compelling power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. To come to the altar. This is going to be a life-changing day for someone in this house today. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, I'm going to the fourth book of the Bible, the book of Numbers, chapter number 11. Numbers chapter 11. Amen. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. Numbers 11 and 1. The Bible makes this statement and records this incident. It said, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Amen. I want to preach today with the help of the Holy Ghost, and I'm asking you to help me. Amen. This morning, I want to preach for the next few moments on the peril of the perimeter. Amen. The peril of the perimeter. Would you lift your hands and your voice with me right now? And I'm asking those of you that know how to touch the throne of God to help me this morning. And let's join together in prayer. I believe the Lord wants to do something great in this house today. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence and your power and your anointing that's in this house today. God, we're asking that you would anoint the ministry of your word. You have anointed the singing. You have anointed our worship. You've anointed this congregation. It's that anointing that destroys the yoke. God, break every fetter. Destroy every yoke, I pray. Let the voice of the Spirit speak. Let the call of the Spirit compel. Let your divine hand be at work, oh God. We ask you for it, Lord. I pray that the Holy Ghost would fall in this building today. That you would fill us and renew us in the Holy Ghost, I pray. In Jesus' name, one more time, would you give the Lord some praise in this house today? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The Bible tells us that after the death of Joseph, there was rose a king in Egypt who did not know who Joseph was. And after realizing that Egypt was filled with the children of Israel, this new king felt threatened and appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with the burden of slavery. But the Bible further tells us that the more they were afflicted, the more they multiplied and the more they grew. The Bible even makes the statement that Egypt was grieved because of the children of Israel. That's how your adversary ought to feel when your eyes open every morning. Amen. Your adversary ought to be grieved at you. You should stop worrying about the devil and make the devil start worrying about you. Amen. The devil ought to be grieved at you and how God keeps working on your behalf and how God keeps blessing you and opening the windows of heaven even while your adversary is trying to attack. When your feet hit the floor every morning, hell should go into a panic mode. When you wake up in the morning, you need to remind yourself, as I begin this day and my feet touch the floor, I'm putting my foot on the devil's head. Today, hell will not take my worship. Hell will not take my praise. Hell will not take my testimony. And I'm going to maintain victory and triumph in the Holy Ghost. The only thing you and the devil have in common is you both believe in one God, and the devil trembles. You should not be shaking. Hell should be shaking. Oh, somebody give the Lord some praise in this house right now. Hallelujah. And in the process of time, the Bible said the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of their bondage, and God heard them and remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. And in response, God brings a man by the name of Moses from the backside of the wilderness to escort his people out of Egypt. God instructed Moses to have an audience with the king and demand him to let the people go. But their exodus did not occur and did not transpire overnight, neither was it without opposition. Pharaoh's heart became hardened, and he denied Israel the permission to proceed. And consequently, God began to send plagues upon Egypt, and it seemed these 10 plagues become progressively worse. And Egypt was stricken from the prosperous down to the peasants, and the plagues were as follows. First, the water turned to blood, and Pharaoh and the Egyptians understand they worship the Nile, and so God smote their God, and then he smote their people. And as a result, the Pharaoh's magicians duplicated the miracle by secret art, and Pharaoh's heart was unmoved. And then there were frogs that came out of the water and completely covered the land. And again, Pharaoh's magicians duplicated the miracle by sorcery, and Pharaoh is unmoved. Thirdly, there were, the Bible said, all of the dust of Egypt became a massive swarm of gnats, and the magicians were unable to duplicate this. They said, it's nothing but the finger of God. It's interesting to note that the first couple of plagues were duplicated by the magicians because they only required a transformation of something that already existed. But the remaining plagues had to be created, and there was only one creator. And it was then that the swarms of flies covered the land. And Pharaoh promised to let the Israelites go, but he hardens his heart and refuses to permit them their exodus. And then all of the Egyptian livestock is dying. None, however, of Israel's stock ever became sick, and Pharaoh still refuses to let the people go. Then there were horrible boils that broke out upon everyone in Egypt, and the magicians unable to respond to the plague because they're covered in boils. Yet Pharaoh refused to let the people of God be released. And then the hailstorm came. It killed all the slaves and animals that were left unprotected, and stripped and destroyed every plant. Then what the hail did not destroy, the locusts came and devoured. And everyone advised Pharaoh, let the Hebrews go. But God hardened his heart again, and he refused. Then there were 3 days of darkness, total darkness in Egypt, so no one could even move except for the Israelites, who enjoyed light as usual. Then the firstborn of all families and cattle of Egypt died, but Israel was spared because of the blood that had been applied to their homes. The Bible even states that there would be a great cry in Egypt, but against the children of Israel would not even a dog open its mouth, so that you may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. There was a difference between God's people and the world then, and there is a difference between the church and the world today. Oh, Jesus, help me not get in trouble here today. Amen. God is called to be different, not just so you look different, but that you have the power to make a difference. Pharaoh and the Egyptians urged Israel, leave quickly. And after the Israelites left, Pharaoh again changes his mind and begins to pursue after them. And there they stand at the brink of the sea, the army behind them, Red Sea in front of them, amen, mountains surrounding it. It appears now that this new campground is going to be their cemetery. But the man of God lifted the rod out over the sea, and the waters parted, amen, and the children of Israel walk across on dry ground. They stand on the other side. He lifts the rod again, and the waters resume their position. And Pharaoh and his army, amen, are completely buried at sea. Amen. And now Israel finally stands as a redeemed nation once and for all. Amen. Free from Pharaoh's hand of slavery. And after complete victory over the Egyptians and God's obvious hand of blessing and provision, how they left Egypt blessed. Amen. One would assume that Israel would live the remaining part of their days with a spirit of gratitude and a spirit of worship and thankfulness. Amen. But that is not the case, because not only God, he had protected them during the plagues. He led them out of Egypt with great wealth and victory. But he also provided water from a rock. He made manna fall for the multitude. During the 40 years of passage, their clothes and shoes did not wear out. Amen. Someone said that it had to be God, because how else would a woman wear the same pair of shoes for 40 years? Come on, man, I need your help right now. I need you to protect me. Watch my back. Hallelujah. But the Bible states that Israel complained and they murmured. On different occasions, they complained about the lack of water. Then they complained about the lack of meat, and God sent them quail. But as they began to eat, God struck them with a plague that killed many of them. They complained about being stuck in the wilderness, facing the giants of the promised land, and wished to return to Egypt. Amen. And all that complained and doubted were not allowed to enter into the promised land, and were doomed to wander in the wilderness until they died. They complained about the authority and the leadership of Moses. Amen. I thank God for men of God in our lives. I thank God for a pastor in my life. Thank God for your pastor. Amen. Amen. I thank God there's a man of God in my life, the only agent anointed by God to stand between me and my family being lost. Amen. Every day you need to lift up your pastor in prayer. You need to thank God for your pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a result of their complaining of leadership, the families and friends and possessions of Korah and Dathan and the conspirators were swallowed up by the earth. They complained that Moses and Aaron caused the death of Korah and conspirators, and God began to destroy Israel, but Moses and Aaron made an atonement for the people, yet 14,700 of them died. They complained that God and Moses brought them into the wilderness, and God sent poisonous snakes that killed many of them and seriously injuring many others. On another occasion of their complaining is located in the text we read just a moment ago. Just prior to this horrific event, Israel received from God through Moses at Mount Sinai excellent laws and ordinances. Yet after 3 days after leaving Mount Sinai, they quarreled with God himself and again began to complain. I can only leave the reason for their complaining, amen, to just guesswork today, because the Bible is unclear about how long or what they complained about. Maybe some of them complained that they were too soon removed from Mount Sinai. Others perhaps complained that they had not moved fast enough. Maybe others complained that they thought that a 3-day journey was too long, and others thought it wasn't long enough. While we are unsure of their complaint, I am certain of this one thing, that their spirit was not pleasing to God. And just as God responded to the previous complaints with judgment, he did so this time as well. But this time there were no people getting sick. The earth did not open up. Amen. There were no plagues. But this time the judgment came by fire. And the Bible said that the Lord heard their complaining, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and the fire of God burnt among them and consume those who were in the uttermost part of the camp. If you recall, the 12 tribes of Israel were strategically staged around the tabernacle. There were 3 positioned to the north, 3 tribes to the south, 3 to the east, and 3 to the west. The tabernacle located in the center of all the tribes. Get the picture here this morning. Every tent door faced the tabernacle. Amen. Every tent door faced the center of the camp. The tabernacle was the first thing they saw when they opened the flap of the tent in the morning. It was the last thing they saw when they closed the tent in the evening. They were constantly reminded of God's presence and God's promises and God's provision. But when the fire of judgment began to burn, it consumed those who were in the uttermost part of the camp, or those who were on the outer perimeter of the camp. They were in the most remote sites. They were in the camp, but the furthest from the tabernacle. Those living in the uttermost part of the camp were positioned just far enough away that they could see the tabernacle in the distance, but could not hear the sound coming from the tabernacle. They could see the smoke, but could not smell the aroma of the sacrifice that was being offered in the tabernacle. They had distanced themselves from the altar and distanced themselves from the ark. I'm going to need your help this morning, because I feel the tug of the Holy Ghost, amen, in this place right now. They were close enough to receive the blessings, yet distance enough not to completely worship. They heard about what was going on at church. They heard about what was going on at the tabernacle, but just never really got close enough to get involved. These are the perils of living on the perimeter. If there ever was a time that we've got to get away from the outside edge, if there ever was a moment that we got to move away from the perimeter and get off the fence and move to the center of what God is doing, it is right now. We are in a race with a rapture. It's no time to back up. It's time to step up. It's time to choose you this day whom you will serve. It's too soon to give up and too late to quit. Come on, saint of God. It's time to worship like you've never worshiped. It's time to witness like you've never witnessed. It's time to pray like you've never prayed. It's time you love God like you've never loved him. It's time to love this truth like you've never loved this truth. The word of God is quick. It's not questionable. There are 2 things that come from God: revelation and delusion. Your response to the truth determines which one God sends to you. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I know this is different from Friday night and Saturday night, but I feel the call of God, the hand of God reaching for somebody. Amen. When the oneness of God doesn't matter, nothing else matters. When Acts 2:38 becomes an option, everything else becomes an option. We cannot forsake the revelation of this apostolic truth in our attempt to be relevant with our culture. You can't get more relevant than Acts 2:38, for this promise is unto you, to your children, and to all. It's time to move away from the perimeter. Oh God, I need a prayer warrior to help me right now. Hallelujah. I feel the tug of the Spirit reaching for somebody that's been living on the outside edge. It's time to pull up the tent stakes and move in close to the tabernacle again. You've got to get back to the altar. You've got to get back to the tabernacle. Oh God, I know this kind of preaching isn't popular, but I've got to obey the Holy Ghost. It's a dangerous thing when you're living on the outer edge. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, take your neighbor by the hand. Let's pray right now, the Holy Ghost. There is a call in the Spirit. Come back to the old landmark. It's dangerous living on the outer edge. Even though lions are considered to be the most regal beast of the jungle, they are not the fastest. They cannot sustain a high-speed pursuit of their prey. Therefore, they must lie logistically, conceal themselves in the familiar surroundings of the jungle and lie in wait for the prey. And while stalking the herd, the lion watches the gazelle, the sheep, the deer who grazes on the outer edge of the herd. And then without warning, he pounces out of the bushes, startling and pouncing upon its prey, killing it. Amen. For the herd, it is safer to stay close to the inside. The Bible says your adversary is as a roaring lion. Amen. It's clear that you've got power over the devil. The 70 rejoice, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Jesus said, amen, these signs are going to follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They're going to take up the serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Amen. The scripture tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Greater is he that is in you. It's obvious you've got power over your adversary. And since he knows you have power over him by the mere mention of the name of Jesus, he is less likely to make a bold announcement. Amen. An interest or his scheme. However, he is not afraid to peruse those on the periphery of the church. It's a lot easier for him, and he has greater odds of success to attack someone who has moved from the center of God's work to the outer perimeter of the church. There he can prowl. And there he can pounce. I've come to plead with somebody today. You've got to get away from the perimeter. There have been too many prayers that have been prayed for you. You know too much. You have felt too much. You have experienced too much to be lost. Oh, God. Somebody's praying, oh, but Brother Winters, oh, but Pastor, don't worry, I'm still coming to church. I'm still in the camp. Yes, but you have distanced yourself from the altar. Amen. You distanced yourself from the ark of God. And on the perimeter, you become vulnerable to your enemy. It's there you are hearing two different sounds. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You hear the sound of the world, and you hear the sound of the word. You hear the voice of the Prince of Darkness and the voice of the Prince of Peace. On the edge, on the perimeter, you are close enough to the church to make you feel good, yet just far enough away to dabble in the world. Amen. And on the perimeter, you can come to church and participate in the worship, yet not commit to God. You know the songs, you know the scripture, but never allow it to change your life. On the edge, you can be apostolic in your doctrine and not be apostolic in your spirit. That's what happened to Lucifer. He was, his doctrine was right. He believes in one God. Amen. He was oneness in his doctrine, but had a wrong spirit. Oh, God. Oh, God. I've come to plead with some people on the perimeter right now. My brother, don't become another Judas in reach of Jesus, but out of touch with him. My sister, don't become another Lot's wife. Amen. Your feet are moving in the right direction, but your heart never left Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't let it be said of you what was said of Simon Peter. He had a revelation but followed from afar off. Amen. Come back tonight. Maybe we'll dance and shout. But today I'm going to do everything I can to reach for somebody that's lost their dance. Somebody that's standing on the perimeter. Oh, you know what it's like to hear God speak to you. You know what it's like to feel the anointing of God. You know what it's like to respond to the Spirit, but today you don't feel like you fit in anywhere. God. Come on, church, let's pray right now. I'm asking everybody that will help me pray in the Holy Ghost. There's a soul in the balance today. Oh, you came because you were expected to come. Some were made to come. And I'm glad you're here because God is calling you back to that place where you really want to be. Oh, you may look like you really don't want to be back where you used to be. But the truth is you can't get away from it. You can't forget what it feels like to sing under the anointing, to be used of God, to pray. It's time for you to come back to the center because you know too much. You know what the world is offering, yet you know its dangers. You know what you need to do and the commitment you need to make, but you're afraid you can't. But I've come to tell you, amen, you're just one prayer away from moving back to the center of what God is wanting to do in your life. The Holy Ghost is reaching. Don't stop praying. The Holy Ghost is calling. Don't stop praying. I'm reaching for some people. Amen. This is all you know. It's where you were. Amen. It's time to get away from the edge. The call of God is upon your life. I said the call of God is upon your life. Like Israel, from where you are, you can smell the smoke. You can hear the sacrifice. You see the glory cloud. You watch the priest. You walked in and clap your hands. Sing the song. Give her the offering. Hear the preaching. But you distance yourself from the altar. Oh, God. I love you, and I'm reaching for you. You're close enough to see what God's doing, yet far enough away not to get the smell of sacrifice on your garment. God. Near enough to worship, but just not close enough to be changed. In reach, out of touch, get away from the perimeter right now. Let's pray right now in the Holy Ghost. Come on, young people. Come on, parents. Come on, hallelujah, church. We got to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. There's a call of God on your life. I can't shake what I feel. Amen. The hand of God has been upon you. The anointing of God, you have felt it. And the Spirit of God is calling you back to that place where you once were. Yeah. On an annual basis, some 12 people lose their life every year at the Grand Canyon, all because they step over the rails and outside the boundaries that are there for their protection. I'm preaching to somebody who's been enticed to step beyond the boundary of God's mercy and God's protection. And your enemy's telling you just once won't hurt. But I can tell you, people, that once is all it took. Do not step over the boundary. Do not tread through the blood that was shed for you. It's not going to be easy for you to be lost. You're going to have to climb over every message you've ever heard preached. You're going to have to wade through the blood that he shed for you. You're going to have to climb over every prayer that was prayed on your behalf. It will not be easy to be lost. It would be much easier today if you would come back to the center of the will of God for your life. Don't become another Uzzah that dies by the ark and within reach of the mercy seat. Don't end up like that in a place like this. I'm almost through. Come on, we got to pray. We got to pray right now. Brother Winters, you preaching judgment? No, I'm preaching mercy. It's the mercy of God that calls you. It's the mercy of God that's reaching for you right now. It's the mercy of God that's causing you to be restless in your pew. It's the mercy of God trying to pull you away from the edge back near the tabernacle. Come on, get away from the edge. Get away from the perimeter. Get on the right path. Amen. This is the most exciting time to be living for God. If you're not praying, I'm asking you to help me pray. Amen. No one leaving, if you will. Amen. Would you stand with me right now? We got to touch the throne of God. Amen. The hand of God is reaching for you one more time. Come on, somebody lift your voice. Somebody pray in the Holy Ghost right now. I'm opening this altar, the call of God. I can't escape this phrase. Keeps rolling in my mind. The call of God. What are you going to do with the call of God upon your life? What are you going to do with the mantle that's rested upon your shoulder? What are you going to do with the experience that you've had with God? God's calling you back to that place with Him. This is your day. This is your moment. You've got to leave the perimeter. There's perils on the perimeter. Come on, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to get it today. You need to repent. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to do it today. You've got to move away from the perimeter. The call of God, the hand of God reaches for you. It would be easy right now for me to lay the microphone down and walk away from this pulpit. But I'm asking everybody that is physically able, amen, to slip out of your seat to this altar right now. Amen. I'm asking you, amen, I plead with you in the Holy Ghost. We've got to make a new commitment. God's ready to renew you in the Holy Ghost. God's ready to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Come on. You're not as far as you think you are. Just pray. Let the Holy Ghost be renewed in you right now. Ah. That's it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, this is your day, sir. This is your day, ma'am. Come on, we gotta pray. We gotta pray. We gotta pray somebody back from the edge. We gotta pray until the Holy Ghost falls. Come on. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the anointing. Come on, pray with somebody nearby you. Amen. This is important. Right now is pivotal. Somebody's soul is weighing in the balance. This is your day. I'm pulling up the tent stakes. I'm moving from the edge back to the center of the will of God for my life.
The Father's arms are open.
Come on, He's calling you.
Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
Let's pray. Come on, parents, let's pray. Come on, church, we gotta pray them off to the perimeter right now.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Come on, God's renewing people in the Holy Ghost. Their commitments being made. There are people that are pulling up the tent stakes. They move back to the tabernacle. Blessing and anointing is flowing in this house right now. Restoration and healing is flowing in this house right now.
Have your way, Jesus.
Yeah. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Come on. We can't stop here. There's too many things happening in this altar. There's too many things happening in this congregation right now. Come on. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Pray until something breaks. Pray until the anointing flows. Pray until you're renewed in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come back to that place where you once were. The hand of God reaches for you one more time.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Is calling.
Have your way, Jesus.
Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst from the drink of the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, come to
the altar. The Father's arms are open. Jesus Christ, oh, come to the
Hallelujah, hallelujah.